Today, I want to share with you some important point which must be known by yogis as well. Okay? So, when we talk about Buddha's teaching, we talk about suffering, right? So, the suffering and the end of suffering. Then what is suffering? Dukkha. What is suffering? People say, oh, Buddha taught only suffering, suffering. Then what is suffering? So when we talk about suffering, Buddha said, the clinging aggregate, right? Of course, he said birth, aging, sickness, and death. That's the process of life. But precisely, summarize, the clinging aggregate is suffering. The noble truth of suffering, right? And five aggregate, we all know already, right? Form aggregate, feeling aggregate, perception, volition, and consciousness aggregate. And this five make up the so-called self, being, right? A being consists of these five. So being is just a conventional truth. This five aggregate is ultimate reality, right? And clinging to this five aggregate is the normal truth of suffering, right? So this is the suffering, the clinging aggregate is the suffering according to the noble truth of suffering. So this suffering, five aggregate, is it cause or effect? Since the Buddha's teaching is related with cause and effect, right? So is it cause or effect? Yeah, it's effect. Our coming into birth is an effect, right? Nothing, we arise in this world not without cause. So what is the cause of this arising of five aggregate? Or what is the cause of the arising of suffering? Yeah, then we come to the second noble truth, the origin of suffering. Which is craving, tanha, what we call clinging. Okay. So, craving, clinging is the cause. The arising of five aggregate is the effect. Then, come an important, very important question. Since craving is the cause and is the origin of suffering, we must understand, as a yogi, as a practitioner, we must understand when this craving arises, where does it arise? Which is a very important question, right? And when this craving settles down, upon what does it settle? If it want to bring to the end of suffering, we have to destroy or eliminate craving, right? So we also must know, when craving arises, where does it arise? When it settles down, upon what does it settle? This is an important question, right? So Buddha gives an answer in one of the sutta called Inner Exploration. Buddha said, whatever in the world has a pleasant and agreeable nature, it is here that this craving arise when it arises. It is here that this craving settle down. So Buddha said, whatever in the world has a pleasant and agreeable nature that cause craving to arise, that cause craving to settle. So what are the things that have a pleasant and agreeable nature? In your daily life, you can check. What are the things cause your craving to arise? What are the things that cause your craving, the craving to settle on what? So this is very relevant with our life, right? So what? So you just check your life. What caused your craving to arise? That type of things. Attachment to what? Yeah, now we are talking about attachment. We attach to what? Family. Okay? Okay, one is family. A beloved family. Not the hatred one. Beloved one. So this beloved family has a pleasant and agreeable nature, right? That's why the craving settles there. Settles on the family. What else? What are the things? Yeah, sensual pleasure. If we talk about sensual pleasure, it's connected with visible object, what the eye sees, right? It's connected with sound, what the ear hears. It's connected with nose, what the nose smell, and it's connected with tongue, what the tongue tastes, and it's connected with body, how the body touch, and it's connected with the mind, right? So how the mind think of. So we can say sense object, including six sense bases. Without eye, if the object is attractive and beautiful, but without eye, we cannot like the object, right? Therefore, six sense object and six sense bases, all these are connected with sensual pleasures. So when this six object, visible object, is agreeable and pleasant, there is where the craving arises. When the sound is pleasant and agreeable, that's where the craving arises. When the food is pleasant and agreeable, that is where the craving arises and settles down. Similarly, when the body, the touch with the beloved one, the soft touch, when it's pleasant and agreeable, that is where the craving settles down and where the craving arises. Okay? Apart from these six sense objects, what else? Our body. Didn't you attach to your body? We attach to our body more than anything in the world. So we have ignored, we have forget what we attach most. Right? So, my body. I think my body is pleasant. I think my body is agreeable. Right? Why is pleasant? Because having the body, I can enjoy sensual pleasures. Without body, how can I enjoy sensual pleasures? Right? So, because we think body is agreeable and is pleasant, that's where craving arises on the body. And what else? Your feeling, pleasant feeling. Even come to meditation, once a while you have very good feeling, and then you start to attach to that pleasant feeling. So, because pleasant feeling has agreeable and pleasant nature, therefore craving arises. And also our perception. When you perceive this, something is good, when you perceive something is beautiful, when you perceive something is pleasant, then you attach to that perception. You crave for it. You attach to that perception. And lastly, of course, our mental, our mind. We attach to mind more than the body. Buddha said, we attach mind more than body. Therefore, when we die, we discard our dead body, but we never can discard our mind. And the mind travel, go to another body, and new birth take place with another form. Therefore, compared with the mind, we have compared with the body, we attach less to the body, but we have great attachment to the mind. Okay? So whatever you think, you perceive, you plan for the future, or you reflect, all this will, if it's pleasant, all this cause attachment and craving. Okay? So now come to another question, another important statement from the Buddha. So Buddha said, bhikkhus, whatever ascetic and Brahmins in the past, present and future, regard that in the world with a pleasant and agreeable nature. Just now we talked about what whatever object that is agreeable and pleasant. Okay. So when we regard this object is pleasant, is agreeable, what will happen? Okay. So whatever ascetics and Brahmin in the past, present and future regard that in the world with a pleasant and agreeable nature as permanent, as happiness, as self, as healthy. So all this pleasant object, if we think they are permanent, they are happiness, they are having a self, and they are healthy, and they are secure, then this ascetic and Brahmin nurtured craving. So in nurturing craving, they nurtured acquisition. Acquisition is called upadhi in Pali. Acquisition means five aggregates. You gain a new aggregate again. So when we think, when we see, whatever thing has a pleasant and agreeable object, and we also think it is permanent, we also think it is happiness, we also think it has a self, we think they are secure, they are healthy, then we nurture acquisition. At that moment, you gain five aggregate again. So when they nurture, in nurtured acquisition, acquisition means acquire of new five aggregate. So when you acquire a new five aggregate, Buddha say, we nurture suffering. Is it clear? Okay. So how can we undo this process? How can we undo this process? So not to nurture suffering. How? Please think of it first. See the danger of what? Yeah, this one of it. But how you put into practice? Let's say you see the danger of coming into samsara again and again, and how can you put this understanding into your practice? Yes. Correct. Correct. Therefore, it is by wrong seeing things, by wrong seeing objects or things or our body, our feeling, our mind as pleasant, permanent, and having a self secure, healthy, that we nurture suffering, right? So now to undo this, we have to see things not agreeable. Instead of agreeable, we should regard them as not agreeable, not pleasant. We should regard them not permanent, but impermanent. We should regard them not happiness, but suffering. We should not regard them having a self, but see them as non-self. Therefore, in meditation, whatever object that arises in you, first we establish mindfulness first. As we say yesterday, right? Know first. Without knowing, then you cannot go to second step. So whatever arises, let's say pleasant feeling has arisen in me. Oh, I aware of it. Pleasant feeling has arisen in me. And this pleasant feeling will trigger craving because it has pleasant nature, right? So it will trigger craving. When it triggers craving, you nurture craving, then you end up with suffering. So when this pleasant feeling arises in us, first we're mindful of it. Secondly, we have to contemplate or pay attention. We call yoniso manasikara, wise attention. We pay attention wisely to that pleasant feeling as what? Impermanent. So mentally we note. Mentally we note impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. Instead of noting pleasant feeling, pleasant feeling, pleasant feeling, it doesn't help you to kick out. It doesn't help you to end the suffering. So I would like to suggest you, instead of note pleasant feeling, you should note or contemplate impermanent, right? Just mentally say only. Mentally say is direct your mind towards, direct your mind to seeing impermanent. Otherwise, you will think this pleasant feeling is permanent. Without mentally directing your mind, or without mentally note impermanent, our distorted perception will perceive it as permanent. When we see it as permanent, we nurture craving. When we nurture craving, we nurture suffering. Therefore, Buddha said, pay wise attention to it as impermanent. That's one way. Or you can pay wise attention to it as dukkha. So that the mind will not take delight in that object. So when you contemplate it as dukkha, suffering, and your mentality, your mind will not take delight in it. Who wants to delight in suffering? Nobody delight in suffering, right? So this is called wise attention. It's very important. Wise attention is the cause, near cause for the arising of wisdom. Okay? So this is the second way. Third way, you can pay attention to it as not a self. Otherwise, our distorted perception will think there is myself. Pleasant feeling is myself. Pleasant feeling belong to me. And so on. Or you can pay attention to it as danger, as you say. Danger. Oh, this pleasant feeling is danger. So that your mind will not attach or cling to that pleasant feeling. When your mind does not cling to the pleasant feeling, you do not nurture craving, right? When you do not nurture craving, you do not nurture suffering. The suffering comes to the end, moment by moment. Suffering cannot come to the end in one, right? It must take very long time, maybe 30 years, 20 years practice. But we can bring suffering to the end moment by moment. That is by wise attention. So pay attention to whatever object that arises in your mind and body as impermanent, this one way. Or as dukkha, suffering, this another way. Or as not having a self, this third way. Or as dangerous. Adinawa, as dangerous or as insecure. Don't pay attention as secure, right? Nothing is secure. Only Nibbana is secure, right? So many people feel, I feel so insecure. Everybody is insecure. The word is insecure. It's true. It's correct that you feel insecure, right? If you're secure, that's not true, because the whole world is insecure. The whole world is on fire. It's changing. How can it be secure? Right? So you should pay attention to whatever arises in your mind and body as insecure, so that you will not cling to that insecurity. You will not cling to that security. That can be your body, can be your feeling, can be your mind object. Okay? So only then, Buddha said, only then, when you pay attention to whatever arises in your mind and body as impermanent, as suffering, as not a self, as insecure, as danger, then you do not nurture craving. You put the craving to a stop at that moment, not forever, only at that moment. Right? So at that moment, when craving comes to a stop, then suffering also cease. This is what we call moment-to-moment practice, moment-to-moment abandoning the craving. So please put into your practice. Don't note, for example, whatever arises, pain. Don't note pain. But please note, not myself. Dukkha, impermanent. Similarly, when there's a pleasant feeling, don't note pleasant feeling, but note. What should you note? Yes, correct. And it's rarity, it's truly impermanent, right? For example, just now during lunchtime, the pleasant feeling you feel, is it gone already or is it still there? Gone already. So it's true, it's impermanent. We are not telling something which is not true, right? It's true. So the moment it arises, note impermanent, impermanent. Don't note after 30 minutes. Immediately you note it as impermanent. Gradually, when your wisdom, your mindfulness and wisdom become more mature, you will see the moment it arises, it passes away. That's what we want to achieve in the vipassana practice. Okay? So sometimes you note impermanent, sometimes you can note dukkha. For example, pain. It's precisely dukkha. So then you note dukkha. Having the body is dukkha. Having the body as dukkha. Instead of pain, you say having the body as dukkha. Why should I cling to this body which is a mess of dukkha? So it's called wise attention. Sometimes you need to think a little bit, not only note. That's called investigation of Dhamma. Dhamma vichaya sambojanga. Dhamma vichaya sambojanga is you have to investigate cause and effect and see its rarity. So not only noting. Noting itself is not enough. Please. Sometimes when I practice one method, keep asking me noting. Oh, I feel so tired. So lack of investigation of Dhamma. We need to investigate. This is the investigation of Dhamma mean wisdom. The practice without wisdom, you cannot succeed. Okay? So, put what you have learned into your practice. Not only hearing. Then gradually you will see its effect. So the moment, the more you see whatever arises, when you contemplate impermanent, when you see it vanishes, then you have more and more confidence in your practice. And then you truly have faith in what Buddha said. Sabbe sankhara anicca. This is how your faith can increase by seeing correctly, by experiencing directly. Okay? Thank you for today. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.